Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. This is Atlanta Business Radio and our digital marketing series. We've been doing time to time here in the Business Radio X flagship studio in Sandy Springs. I'm Ryan Redhawk, and alongside is the co-host of this program who has been here doing this with us, Thomas Harportner. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning, Ryan. Great to be here.
Yeah, can you believe it's December?
Right?
Yeah, and we've done this episode together a few times now.
I think, since the summer.
Yes, and we've had some great feedback from a lot of folks about the guests that you've been able to bring in and the questions we've been asking.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. So we look forward to today's guest. So a little later on the program, we're going to talk with Leanne Davis, Director of Marketing for Reliable Heating and Air. But first, let's say hello to Daniel Jape with Reliable Heating and Air. How are you, sir?
I'm good this morning. Thank you guys for allowing us to come in. We appreciate this.
Well, thank you for joining us for sure. So Reliable Heating and Air, I think this is like an Atlanta tradition, right?
It is. My father started the company in 1978. Little bit of information on him is when he was a younger man, he actually had other jobs during the day. And then at night, he would come home, hop in his service vehicle, and do service calls in the evening.
Was his day job in the heating and air business as well?
It was. He was working for a mechanical contractor doing work at more larger type of areas like restaurants, buildings, and things like that. So that's where he got the background on the HVAC and mechanical side. And then over time, as he kind of built up his own clientele, came to the point where he no longer had to do the day at one job and night at the other one. So he opened the company in 1978 when it formed, and they started down in Doraville with him and a small office. And now we've just been growing since then.
Yeah, we talk to entrepreneurs all the time in the studio, and we often say you don't have to quit your day job to follow your dream of starting your own business. You can work them at the same time, and that's kind of how your dad grew the business.
That's exactly right. He had the base and got the knowledge they needed to, built it up, and then when it became to the point where he could really devote himself 100% to that, he just made the move, and it's been phenomenal for us. We've continued to grow the business even after the market a little while ago where we had the housing issues. We've come back from that. He and myself, we kind of started everything again. Now we've grown to one of the largest train dealer in the United States.
So the largest train manufacturer, air conditioning unit, heating units, all that.
Yeah. So Train is the manufacturer of the units, and then we represent their product, and we are their largest dealer in the United States.
And for privately and commercial use as well?
We do. Yeah. It's lumped all together there.
That's great.
So that's something we've been talking about entrepreneurship. A couple of years ago, we've launched our commercial division. So now we're moving from not only being able to service your homes, but also into the commercial industry. So
that's got to be exciting. Yeah, definitely. And so you were born in the business, but did you always think you would go into it? Family business sometimes doesn't always go on to the next generation. And I'm sure you thought about this for many years. And it's one day it seemed exciting, the next day it didn't, but you finally landed where you are. Talk to us about that journey.
Yeah. So when I was about 12 years old, most people during their summers would get to go to the pool, or they get to do whitewater. My job was I got up at 5:30 in the morning, came in with my father, Dan. I made the coffee. Got the warehouse ready, got the material, got the guys out. And then as it progressed from there, I went from working in the warehouse to actually working in the field, being an apprentice. Mm-hmm. From the apprenticeship, I went to running my own truck. Then I went on to school and got my business degree, my four-year degree.
Now, was that something you wanted to do, or was that part of the plan your father had for you?
No, it was something that I wanted to do. My family grew up. My father was, my grandfather was an engineer. My uncle's an engineer. So my family's really grown up being in that mechanical, hands-on, and it's something that we find that when I would go out and do a job and get done with it, I would be able to step back and look at what I had just built or what I had done, and I had a sense of pride.
That's great.
So I knew I always wanted to do this because that's just something that was ingrained in me. You work hard, you provide for your family. So I spent the earlier part of my years learning the mechanical side of it. And then the next logical step for me is, okay, now I need to learn how to do the business side of it. So it was always something, even from when I was young at 12 or 13, that I knew this is what I wanted to do, because when I finished my work and at the end of the day, I had that sense of pride and the fact that that is something that I did and that I can leave behind for, whether the homeowner or wherever, that this is something that they'll benefit from for years to come.
So that's great. So it's been resonating with you for many years. You knew you wanted to go in this direction, but it took it upon yourself to learn the skills inside and outside the business to kind of take it to the next level. As you mentioned, you're in a commercial kind of endeavor now. So let's talk about the trends in the industry that are going on, and particularly about the digital marketing side of your things. You guys are all over the place. And I know you're doing a very good job at that. Who spearheaded this initiative?
So this is an initiative brought on by my father and a lovely lady across from me, Leanne, where they've just, they try to get our name out everywhere. And that's really the goal that we have is by going into different segments in different areas, it has that appearance of no matter where you are in Atlanta, you're going to see us. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's very important because when you're trying to make a decision as a homeowner on who you're going to call for heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, anything like that, a lot of people may only experience needs like this a couple times in their life. So it's always important to have that top of mind of who are the top maybe two or three people that I'm going to call. And that's why we try to make sure that we are everywhere. And so when people go to make that decision, they're like, oh, I remember those are the two gentlemen we see on 75 on the billboard, or I've seen them on my TV, or I hear them on my radio.
Yeah, it's a crowded space out there, too. There's a lot of people doing the good work, and you got to separate yourself, not only top of mind marketing style, but doing good work as well.
Absolutely. And that's something that we've really tried to work hard on is getting the image out there of the company. But also one of the things that we use is my father and I. The fact that, you know, I'm here talking with you, the president, my father is the CEO. And in a lot of the companies that you'll contact, you can't talk
to the owner. It's not a face to anything.
Right. Where if you call the office, not now, but say in an hour or two, and you need to speak with me, I'll be more than happy to pick up the phone and speak with you. And that's something that we really try to show that we are that family company, that we care, that if you need us, we are available to help you no matter what your needs are.
That's good. And so let's do bring Leanne into the conversation. How do you keep it top of mind? How do you keep people informed in this crowded digital marketing type of space today?
Well, I will say it makes it so much easier that for a long time, Reliable Heating Air has been embracing of media. And traditional advertising is where Dan started. So I found actually, while I was trying to compile archives of our old commercials, I found one from 1984.
A TV commercial?
Radio yeah. Commercial. No, a TV commercial of Dan.
That's classic.
It was awesome. And so it makes my job that much easier because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you're in your house, you're uncomfortable, you realize, oh, shoot, you know, my furnace isn't actually blowing hot air and I'm freezing. You're going to go to Google and you're going to, you know, maybe just type in heating and air companies near me. And my job is to make sure that we're there when you actually need us. And the great part of it is when you see our ad there, you'll remember us because you saw Dan's 1984 commercial or any of our others.
Mm-hmm. So that's great. And this is a background you've been involved with. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Sure. I have been in digital for about 15 years. I actually met Dan Jape and Reliable Heating and Air when I helped launch kudzu.com for Cox Enterprises.
Yep.
So I noticed him because he was getting a lot of good reviews on Kudzu. And this was back in the day when people really didn't go to the internet to look up local reviews for local businesses. They still kind of heavily relied on Yellow Pages or, you know, just Googling, but there wasn't really much helpful information. But I saw that Dan Jape was personally responding to his good and bad reviews on Kudzu.
Yeah, and Kudzu was big at the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to, that was the source here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. for people don't know, for reviews and up-to-date for service companies.
Absolutely. And I saw that he was so committed to speaking to his customers authentically. I mean, his responses were just from the heart. And that's how I met him. And then in 2012, I took over all of his digital marketing from pay-per-click to his social. And now I'm 100% full-time since April. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to be able to get my hands in everything and make sure everything is cohesive from traditional to digital.
That's great. And maybe, Thomas, maybe you can explain to the audience a little further about what does digital marketing mean? Seems like such a broad term, but kind of narrow it down for our listeners.
Yeah, you know, it's evolved immensely. You know, we've been helping businesses since 1997, you know, and if you think about that, you know, just for a moment, you know, Facebook is only 12 years old and we literally started before Google, you know, 1 year before Google launched. So the definition changes much more rapidly than anything else. You know, when you ask what is digital, what was it 10 years ago, it'll change again next year, the year after, and the impact these different channels make, you know, the impact that Facebook has today, the impact that search has, you know, the fact that more people are searching on mobile devices today than ever before. You know, that's a really big consideration. You know, what people search for may not be, you know, those clinical terms, those technical terms that, we, you know, sites are built around when we work with, you know, doctors, attorneys, you know, dentists. You know, people may not search for pediatric dentists. They may search for children's dentists. So, you know, all of those things, you know, really have to be taken into consideration. So a lot of questions we get is what's coming? You know, what should we expect will change next year? What's Google going to do? But, you know, so I'll ask Leanne, because you've been on the front lines, you know, working on the client side for quite some time. I mean, what do you expect on your end will change next year? What are you prepping for right now?
A big trend that I've noticed and I'm trying to wrap my head around being, you know, on the front lines of is I've noticed we're moving away from trusting maybe a local business's massive amount of online reviews. Sometimes you can go and try to do your due diligence before you make a big purchase for your home or personally, and you have maybe 10 or 15 local options. They all have five-star reviews, and they all have maybe 300-plus reviews. And then we've seen a lot of you know, products or services come and go, such as Google Plus. You know, remember when you could search and for a brief moment, you could see little plus ones and plus twos near ads. And then that was supposed to indicate to people, oh, my friend actually looked at this ad before. So that was an effort to make reviews more relevant to the surfer. I'm not 100% sure that that has actually gone as they expected. So, then comes Yelp, which those reviews are a little bit more personal because you can see that your friend has is a Facebook friend of this person and that person. So I'm giving that review a little bit more validity. But there's definitely a move towards wanting to verify the authenticity of a review. So just trying to find where those conversations are going to be happening online, because they will. And making sure that we can reliably hang there, can be there as authentically as possible.
So it comes down to trust.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, consumers trust, ironically, they trust strangers more than they trust brands.
Right.
People go to Amazon often just for the ratings and reviews, just read about the product, even if they make the purchase there or not. So that's a really good point. So what advice would you give to, say, someone else in your role who's maybe not as seasoned, right? Maybe the company isn't quite as big and they don't have your budget, but they want to know, you know, if I have X amount of money to spend, you know, where am I going to get the best bang for the buck? How should I allocate my budget? Social media, pay-per-click, SEO, ratings and reviews. What advice would you give someone?
Everyone is so different. But if you are a much smaller company, you don't really have the luxury of, you know, a lot of branding budget. You've got a job to do and you need to generate leads for your team. So that comes down to actually knowing what is making those phones ring and follow the lead of your customer. If you are getting customers from maybe a little coupon mailer, follow that. Don't try to fight it. You know, it may not be digital. It may not be something super, you know, new, but it might be what's making that phone ring. And I would also make sure that I've maximized as much as I could in my footprint and maybe tighten your footprint. Maybe it's a 20-mile radius of your service area. Maybe it's only 20% of your service area, but maximize all that you can on search engines. And you don't have to give it all to Google. People do use Bing and Yahoo.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, of course, those companies are kind of merging and Yahoo's trying to figure out its future. We'll see a lot of changes from there. If you could look back at, let's say, the last 12 to 18 months, if there's any one thing that you could do differently moving, you know, if you could redo it, what's the one thing you would change in your digital marketing?
You can plead the fifth if you want.
It's a question we get all the time.
I have a wish. I have a wish.
Okay, let's hear it. It's Christmas season. Wishes
are good.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish that I didn't, whenever Google makes a new release, a new ad format, I wish that I didn't have 200 new ads to write before lunch. And I wish the work that I did on my Google ads, because I do spend a majority of my time in that just because of, you know, it's what's most used. Yeah. I wish it translated a lot easier to Bing and Yahoo.
So that's a good point. A business out there, keep it updated for your Google ads. You can't just set it and forget it kind of social marketing ad strategy there. You need to stay updated. How often do you have to update these?
Anytime Google releases a new ad extension, that's sort of like my ad won't change, but maybe now I could feature our most popular review next to my ad, or I can feature a service. You've got to go in and enable it because they've updated their quality score algorithm to benefit those that embrace those new little widgets, basically, that they put out there.
Now, of course, we're talking about pay-per-click ads, you know, that need to be updated. And that's a really good point, because it's easy to create campaigns, which a lot of companies do, and they figure, well, pay-per-click's pretty easy. It's very, you know, Google makes it super easy to create campaigns. But if you don't stay on top of them, you can bleed a lot of money and miss a lot of opportunities. What about on the SEO side? What have you seen? Where's your wish on the SEO side, if anything?
That I could just still buy a bunch of links and show up on page one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad that it's definitely, they're making a move towards verifying the authenticity of backlink building because I am doing it naturally. My team and I, Miranda, we take... What's great about Dan is he really did start blogging like in 06.
Yeah.
So I have all these great old articles that I'm pairing with video content that he produced years ago too, and making these awesome, just revamped, refreshed content video blogs. And then I'm sending them out there every Monday. We call them our informational Monday, and it's synced completely with our social media.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, repurposing old content in a new way. Getting it out to folks, because it's the same information's very similar, you know, heating and air, got issues. What are some of the key words people are searching for when they need help, from Reliable Heating and Air?
So this is crazy, but if you dig into our analytics, there are certain blogs of ours that he wrote years ago that get so much traffic, and it's because it's matching a query. A couple of years ago, people started definitely searching differently. It used to be very, very short searches, you know, and we called the longer queries the long tail.
But
now everything's long tail because you can just ask a question, you know. So the question that people are typing in, why is my AC unit hissing? That is searched so much.
Really?
And then this one blog entry that Dan wrote years ago
explains it.
Generates so much
Daniel,
traffic.
Why does my AC hiss?
Well, there can be a couple reasons for it. You could either have a leak in the system. That's very common. Sometimes as the system gets older, outside in the unit, there's and it's called a compressor, but it's essentially an engine. And as that gets older, just like the engines in our vehicles, you can start having issues with that. So those are all pretty common things. And, and unfortunately, it always happens in the summertime when it's 90 degrees outside. You come home and... like,
And you mentioned earlier in the program how people really don't need your services until it's an emergency. Like it starts to break or there is a complete failure of the system. And then they're immediately out there searching and they want help right now. And they want somebody reliable and fast. And that's where you got to be at the front lines when they need your help. And my question for you along that, you service a huge territory, right? You guys cover a lot of North Georgia, right? So how do you pinpoint where you are with your strategy? You know, that's a lot of markets to be in.
Yeah, we actually, so we have three locations. We have the Kennesaw location. We have a location out in Graysonville. And then we have a location down in Fayetteville. And really the way those came about as far as pinpointing our areas is as we continued to grow and we would get customers, say in Athens, would call us and say, hey, we saw you do service this area. Sure, we can from Kennesaw, but it's, you know, a 2-hour drive.
Right.
So that's really how the business has grown, is as we moved into different segments and different areas, and we kept getting phone calls and queries from those people of, hey, can you come down here? Or I have a house in Roswell. Can you also service, say, my house down in Jonesboro? It only made a sense for a logical standpoint just to extend that area. That way we could get to those customers quicker.
That's the best market research, right? Getting phone
listening
calls
to the customer. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And then starting to use the SEO and to target those neighborhoods, essentially, because Atlanta is huge. You can't disservice emergency heating and air Atlanta, because then you're going to get flooded with results. But if you start putting Fayetteville or your neighborhood, whatever it may be, I think, and so that's a great strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And you know, Leanne just hit on something really important, and a big change in search is the voice recognition technologies these days. And one reason why these searches are becoming a lot longer, more conversational, you know, we've got, you know, one of these little Alexa boxes at our office that, you know, our team uses just to play music. You know, they say, Alexa, play Phil Collins. No one's searching on a keyboard. But, you know, through Alexa and Google and you know, Apple's Siri, searches are being performed right now, you know, on mobile phones. And, you know, these, you know, so the search engine is trying to figure out what the actual problem is and then serve up the most relevant solution. So, you know, that we're going to see a lot more going into next year, trying to figure out what people are actually talking into their devices, you know, when they're having a problem. And that wasn't even a blow up on the radar a few years ago.
So that's
right?
Another challenge for you in 2017, Leanne, and your strategy and how you're going to do that. But it sounds like you're leveraging this video element pretty heavily. And we've heard that a lot here in the studios. Video is popular now. Mm-hmm. Short videos, new videos, and informational type videos. And you're already doing that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, we actually, Leanne, a couple years ago, we did a whole YouTube series, because that's what we found a lot of people want is going back to your question about the air conditioning hissing. You can listen to someone explain what's going on, but what we found is a lot of people, they'll just go and search for that, and you can find a YouTube video. I mean, think about it now. Anything you really want to do.
I know.
So there'll be either myself or my father, and it's a couple-minute video. If you have questions about anything, we will actually show you what is going on and what can cause those problems. And it just has made a huge impact on our customer base. That way, they're more educated and they have an idea of what is actually going on inside their home.
That's great. And you are, so from an owner's perspective and president and CEO's perspective, this is important to, you know, have that footprint in the neighborhoods you serve. And so how much effort do you think you put into kind of letting Leanne do her own thing and to come back to me and see me results? Are you actually working with her closely on a regular basis and seeing what's trending?
So before Leanne came on full time, my father and I spent a lot of time doing that. And what we've discovered is she is much better at it than we are. So we really just kind of give her a direction and a goal and let her do her thing. And that's been working out
it's
the best.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's great. And let her see the results and the fruits of her labor and then comes back. But you're watching it from afar, of course. You're seeing the impact probably organically that she doesn't even realize when you're out and about and doing your day-to-day business. And what does that day-to-day look like for you over there?
Yeah, so right now, what I've been tasked with this past year is our installation side on the heating and air conditioning system. So that has been my goal. I've been running that department for this year. I was given a goal to grow about 12%, which was a pretty big goal considering where we were last year. But we have, glad to say I've hit my number. I've been about 14 to 15% over where I was. So, I was able to do that.
The rest of the year off. Yeah.
It has been incredibly, incredibly busy for me over there. But it's really been great to have someone like Leanne on board to where we can focus on the areas that, you know, work really in the business and allow her to work more on the business and the overall goals. And then she's been just doing a fantastic job for us.
Absolutely. And where do you go? What are some of the resources you may have? You can point other people in industry like yourself that you go to, blogs that you read or, you know, expos you attend to learn more about digital marketing.
Well, for a long time, I've always participated as often as I can at AIMA, the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association.
Okay.
And then from that, several years ago, Sempo evolved, which is Search Engine Marketing Professionals Organization.
I see Thomas nodding in his head. You're familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Which I actually served on their membership leadership council in 2014. So you should probably all join if you haven't. But those are great resources. And there are people locally that are industry experts, and they've got their clients that they're tasked to generate leads online for and maximize their exposure. And they're just great people to rub elbows with and find out, you know, what's your client doing and what's that client doing and did that work and things like that. And then other than that, I obsessively read Search Engine Land.
So at night, as you're falling asleep, you're reading Search Engine Land to help dream about more search engine strategies. That's great. So if somebody implements a new search engine strategy, we've talked about this all the time. We talk to entrepreneurs and startups. You know, how long does it take before you can actually start seeing results from some of these efforts?
So if we're talking about a search engine marketing paid campaign, I'm greedy. I want to see results pretty immediately. I mean, people are searching not because they want to just know about an HVAC, you know, it depends on your business, but they don't, you know, they're not curious about what kind of good companies are out there. Something is broken and they need it fixed. Right. And my ad needs to get them to click on it. And then my website needs to get them to call me.
And for our listeners who don't know, Reliable Heating Air also does plumbing, electrical, home performance. So how do you kind of separate yourself in those niches as well?
Yeah, I'm definitely aggressively representing each division.
So all of them take separate energy, separate time, and kind of lanes to operate in.
Yeah.
And Thomas, any advice you may have as someone who is doing multiple lanes of business for their service for maximizing their efforts? Because it could be like an all-day thing every day, and that's just going to
It could be a 24-7. You know, some of our clients are very small businesses, and others are, you know, large hospitals or big brands like big telcos, and they have in-house marketing teams. Some have 20, 30 people. And at the end of the day, it's not so much a question of capability. It's often just a question of resources. Certain times of the year, companies get extremely busy launching a product, launching a new service line, and they just need external resources to help them. More boots in the street, in essence, to get a product launched, to get it out there, because there are only so many hours in the day. You know, one of the great benefits that digital marketing or promises that digital marketing brings to the table is that it's more measurable than, say, some traditional. You know, I remember, you know, John Wanamaker, a book I read a long time ago, The Old Retailer, he said 50% of, now this is back in the 50s, right? He said 50% of my advertising is wasted. I just don't know which 50%. Digital was supposed to, you know, fix a lot of that to make everything more measurable. Well, you know, you can only measure what you can manage, right? So all these numbers coming at you all day long. You know, as I'm here this morning, our team is on the phone probably every day, all day on the phone with clients, analyzing their numbers, making recommendations, giving them really deep insights. And that's extremely helpful to them. The other day I was looking out my office window and I saw an airplane. Daniel's smiling. I think you know what I'm about to say, right? Dragging a Reliable Heating and Air banner, right?
Really?
And it was pretty cool. You know, I tried to get a picture of it, but remember we had all that smoke and stuff going on, right? But it's one of those examples. That's clearly branding, right? And there's no way to measure how many people called as a result of that airplane flying. So sometimes you have to have a little bit of faith in your marketing and advertising when it comes to pay-per-click and SEO. Those things you can measure. You can see how many clicks you're getting. You can see how many conversions. But how many calls that airplane's bringing in, you know,
it's true. Yeah, we see that here at Business Radio X. We don't know who's listening. This is going out all over the world, all over the internet. And there could be somebody in Bangladesh right now being very inspired by the story, ready to start their own heating and air business. Mm-hmm. It may happen. So you're right. You never know who's listening. Just continue to do good business. Continue to have execute the plans that have seen success before. And then I was looking at your website before you guys came in today, and you had this statement of like 50% of all air conditionings are installed incorrectly. That immediately scared me, right? I had a new system put in last year, and it's been working fine, but man, it made me think, why would you put that there? What's the method behind putting that front and center on your website?
So this is actually something we're extremely excited about. It's a brand new thing. We're the only one in Georgia that has access to this. And what this is the EPA has done a study And they've determined that on average, around 50% of the heating and cooling systems that are installed in your home have something wrong with them, whether it's not mechanically set up correct, there can be some leakage on the ductwork, there can be different things that means the system is not working at optimal performance. So they have actually, the EPA has actually partnered with us, and we are the only company in the state that can give you a third-party EPA Energy Star verification certificate. So we have been tasked that we can come in to your home, test either our system or any other system that's been installed, put it through the requirement test, and then it essentially gives you a grade sheet of it. It did well in A, B, and C, but D is not up to the standards.
And then, of course, if it's not up to standards, you can then bring it up to standards.
That's correct. And the reason we're excited about this is people spend a significant amount of money on the investments. And
$4,000.
Right. $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. If you have two systems in your home, sometimes $10,000 to $11,000.
Wow. It's not cheap.
And really, before this project came along, there was no way for the homeowner to know, okay, sure, my energy bills are lower, I seem to be comfortable, but once again, there was no type of third-party verification saying, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, this system is working exactly the way it was designed. So that's why we have that out there, because we've been chosen by the EPA to perform this, and we're extremely excited about this.
Absolutely. This takes, I think, the whole trust factor to another level.
It does, and this is something we were talking about, what's coming on in the future and really where some of the industry is going and different parts of. Everything now is you can get the mobile and on your phone and do all this research. And that's something that this can do as well, is we have a system called Comfort Guard, which would actually monitor your HVAC system 24/7.
And it at a remote location or from a smartphone?
No, so it's at your home. Oh, so we install it in your home, and it streams the information to engineers in Emerson, and they're in a different part of the country. And then off of that, if there are problems with your system, so you're having hissing or that's not working properly, it can actually send you alerts on your phone, and it can also send us alerts, so we can call you and say, hey, Mrs. Smith, we've noticed that system's a couple years old. There's a small thing going on right now. Why don't we come out before there's a major problem, and we can correct that? And that's really something that we see the market moving towards.
Smart technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that we can do to try to keep that investment working at 100% efficiency, but also more importantly, give them the peace of mind, knowing when they come home after a vacation in May, they're not going to come home to a house that's 85 degrees and they don't have air conditioning.
It sounds like this has been part of your philosophy of since day one, of just staying what's new and trending out there and using new technology, using communication platforms, whether it's blogging back, you know, all those years ago, now video blogging, but, you know, new technology. Sure, our homes are changing and they're changing fast. I just wonder, why is the refrigerator the first thing to go smart in everybody's home, right? Why do we have to have smart refrigerator? Couldn't it be something else in the house that, I do love my fridge, but I don't need to know when I'm out of peanut butter, but, you know, remotely or something.
I need a smart vacuum cleaner.
That would be good. Yeah, get one of those going. And so let's talk about that. What's next for you in the business? 2017, we're kind of winding down. 16, what's on the horizon for Reliable Heating and Air?
Yeah, I mean, so the main two things we're looking at is continuing promoting the Comfort Guard system, because we think that's going to be really where the future of the industry is going. And then the third-party EPA verification system. I mean, that's going to be something that is really going to give us that peace of mind and the edge on showing what's out there. Because to your point, a lot of industries, whether it's the heating and air conditioning or a lot of the trades, they have a hard time keeping up with the times. Because, you know, when my father started this in 1978, it was a box outside, a box inside, and then you put a dial on the inside that has some mercury in it, and it turned the unit on and off, and that's it.
That's it.
Now our standard systems have thermostats that are Wi-Fi capable. So if you don't ever want to go to your wall, you can change it from your phone. You can travel, turn the system on and off. You know, it measures the efficiency of your unit, runtime. So it's something that we're really excited about as we continue to be on that forefront and use it as something that we can really offer our customers to give them that peace of mind and that comfort, knowing that what they're purchasing and what they're putting in their home is going to do exactly what we're saying.
Smart technology, green technology, as they begin to build more homes, and Atlanta's growing. You've seen it change. I'm born and raised in Atlanta. I've seen it change through the years. And we just know there's just more opportunity for business, and you just got to stay ahead of the curve. And I know you guys are doing that, Reliable Heating and Air.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where everything's going. It's not going to go back. We're not going to go back to the days of less efficient units or types of systems that can harm the environment. Everything's going to be moving forward. So whether it's the increase in efficiency, or we have our new units now that actually can run at 700 different speeds, depending on what you need. I mean, that's where we're going to be moving to. And it's just an evolution of the industries around us, and then the technology changing that is really going to try to drive that home for making sure that the consumers understand there's going to be more efficiency, more efficient options out there, more technical options. And all this is really just trying to make their homes more comfortable, because that's what it's about.
How do you keep your workforce up to date with all this technology? Talk a little bit about that. You recruit good talent and retain the good talent.
Yeah, so it is a struggle, because as I said, we have some gentlemen that have been working in this industry for 20 plus years. And when they started, none of this was around. There was no concept of this. So this is something that we work very hard with. We have consistent training from all the different manufacturers. I actually have a class coming up here in the next week or two where we're bringing in some manufacturer reps, the gentleman that actually designed and built some of these platforms. We bring them to our office, and we have different classes with our technicians going over from the wiring, the diagnostic, the setup process. So it is a challenge, but it's something that we take very seriously, because we know that we need to make sure that not only myself and Leanne and the other people in the office understand it, but really the gentlemen that are in the field doing the work, putting the equipment in. So that's something we spend a lot of time doing, training with the different manufacturers, in-house training. We actually set up a training room in our new building where we have every single system that we install fully operational in there. So if we have a gentleman that says, hey, you know, I'm struggling a little bit with A, B, or C, okay, we'll bring them in there. We have the unit set up, fully operational. And we'll take it apart and say, put it back together.
Are you guys actively looking for people now? Are you hiring now?
We are. We're actively looking for technicians on the residential and the commercial side. We're always looking for good people. Absolutely. So if you want to come by, the best place is the Kennesaw location. Mm-hmm. We're right near Kennesaw State University. Myself or my father will sit down, meet with you, talk, look at the resume, but absolutely, we're always looking for good people.
Yeah, and if you're looking to work for a family business and be immersed into a growing business and a growing culture, then that's the kind of the route for you as well. And we know you guys are doing good work, because I see, like I said, the vans all over town, see the signs flying behind planes, hear the commercials and stuff. So you guys are always out there. And like I said, I'm from Atlanta, so I think I recognize this name brand as long as, you know, I've been around. So at least it's 1978. So Leanne, let's tell our listeners, what's the best way to find out more information?
You can call or text Reliable Heating and Air now. Mm-hmm. You can always visit our website at reliableair.com. And we put out content every day on our social. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. So it's easy to find us. You just have to Google us.
That's right. And whether you need a new setup immediately, or just are thinking about it, and you know, you certainly want to plan for it because it is a big investment, start doing your research now and just do those keywords. And you'll be surprised who comes up on top, I'm sure. And so, well, thank you so much, Leanne, for joining us. And Thomas, this has kind of been a good series, kind of winding down in 2016. Yeah, what's you got up going for the rest of the year?
And you know, we are. I think we're booked solid through next Wednesday, and you know, then I'm giving the employees a couple of extra days off this year,
you know,
so they can spend time with their families and stuff.
And you're going home for the holidays yourself?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, my mother's in New Jersey. You know, it's a little bit colder up there. I can't get her to come here, so you know, we'll see how that goes.
Well, make sure you tell our listeners also they can find you at AIS Media.
Yeah, you bet. www.aismedia.com. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're everywhere. So.
Yeah.
You know, check us out.
And your office located in Buckhead, is that right?
Yeah, we're in Tower Place, conveniently.
That's right.
right in the middle
another
of
another Atlanta icon building, building, Tower Place.
That's right.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much, Thomas. And thank you, Daniel Jape. Will you guys be talking about heating and air around the Christmas table this year, you and Dan?
Oh, yes.
Is it always talking shop at Family Affairs?
It's 24/7. We live it, breathe it, eat it. Absolutely. We try every now and then to have some without it, but it's just ingrained in us, part of us. And I think that's something that makes us so successful, is we just, it's on our mind all the time.
Yeah, it just kind of family of mercy? Any other family members involved in the business?
Nope. It's just, it's myself, my father, and then his wife. That's it. Say, okay. My wife worked in the business for a little bit, but yeah. She said, no, she just decided to be a nurse. That's understandable.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel. Say hello to Dan Force and everybody else over there at Reliable Heating and Air. Please do come back and be a guest here on Atlanta Business Radio in 2017. We'd love to feature you again.
I really appreciate you allowing us to take some time to come on here. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. And thank you, absolutely. And listeners, thank you so much. You can catch us here back on Monday for another 10 a.m. episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Until then, thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X family, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you on the radio.